morning. Good to see all of you out this morning, and we have so much to be rejoicing in the Lord. Let's go ahead and take our bulletins quickly, and we'll take a note of what's going on this week and the weeks to come. First off, we have a deacons meeting this afternoon. That'll be at 5:15, so deacons, keep that in mind. Tonight we'll be having our evening service. It'll be a special service, a Christmas worship service, and so special things going on there. Afterwards, we'll be having a fellowship and also a $1 gift exchange, and so keep that in mind. Tuesday, we have Ladies Missionary Guild and also our men's Bible study. Wednesday, we have our Bible study and prayer meeting, and then on Friday, we're going to have a special candlelight Christmas Eve service. That will be at 6 o'clock. Also, as we think about the new year, Friday, December 31st, we'll be having a game night to usher in the new year. So at 6 o'clock, we'll have a time of fellowship and eating, and then we'll be playing games after that. That's Friday, December 31st. Also, keep in mind our missionary cupboard restocking. We've been doing that throughout the month of December. And then also, with Secret Sisters, if you want to be participating in that for next year, there are yellow forms on the back table. Fill that out. Either give it to myself or Inez Schuling, and we'll be drawing for those January 2nd. For those ladies who are wanting to participate. And then also, we've been collecting items for Dan and Larry. They're serving overseas in Afghanistan, and the cutoff for that is today. We've already collected quite a bit, and we'll probably be able to send out two boxes to each of those guys, and we can praise the Lord for that. Then also, a couple weeks ago, we passed out member self-evaluation forms, and if you can get those back to me here soon, I would greatly appreciate that. And then also we've posted a new cleaning list for 2011 that's on the bulletin board. And if you would be wanting to participate in that way and serve the Lord as far as cleaning the church property, there's a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board there. I think that's all of our announcements. Truly we can rejoice in the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to focus on that this morning as well as this evening. Not only did Jesus Christ... Not only was he born in Bethlehem, but also he died for each and every one of us. And that truly is the greatest gift of all. So let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the person of Jesus Christ. And as we think about Christmas time, it's a blessed time with so many great memories and wonderful traditions. But yet we want to focus in on the person of Jesus Christ and who he is and what he means for us. I do thank you that Jesus Christ is the perfect God-man, that he is the only one who is worthy of our praise and our worship. And I thank you that he died upon the cross of Calvary for us. I thank you that he is the one alone who could be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. I do thank you for that perfect gift of salvation. And so even now as we worship you, and as we remember Jesus Christ, I do pray that we'd just never take Jesus for granted. That we wouldn't be distracted by all of the other things going on this holiday season, but we'd be focusing on you and your word and the living word who is Jesus. And so I do thank you for this time where we can sing songs of praise, Christmas carols, and as we look into your word, I do thank you that Jesus Christ, he is the Savior. He is Christ the Lord. So I do even pray that we'd rejoice as the shepherds rejoiced. Do pray that we'd even announce the good tidings even as the angel did. And so I do thank you for each and every one here. Do even pray for those who are feeling under the weather. I even do pray for Larry Plum as he's not feeling well today. I do even thank you for the time that we had yesterday going Christmas caroling. What a blessing that was. And so I do pray that during this time, as well as all other times, I do pray that your name would be glorified. I do pray that it would be worshiping you in spirit and truth. So we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand this morning. Last Sunday before Christmas, and we're going to sing 136.
Our scripture reading this morning is in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, and verses 1 through 20. Luke, chapter 2, and verses 1 through 20. And beginning with verse 1, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Verse 5, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them."
Let's continue on with 135. 135, "While shepherds watched their flocks." "What child is this?" 137. very key to all the celebration, to the very fact of this baby coming. What's the point? So bring him incense, gold and myrrh, come peasant king to own him. The King of Kings, salvation brings. It's not that big a deal in the grand scheme of things that a baby is born. It even isn't necessarily that big a deal, as monumentous as it is, that God would come and live with us, except for the fact that for us, that means that in his death and resurrection on Easter, we have eternal life, forgiveness of sins. And that is why we celebrate. We do not celebrate because it is a fun time. We do celebrate because Emmanuel, God with us, has come. But it is not just because God has come, it is because of what he came to do. So whenever we celebrate Christmas, we should not just celebrate God coming, but we should celebrate and look forward toward what he did on Easter, 30 years later. He died on that tree for us. And that is why we celebrate at Christmas. Because if he didn't come, he couldn't have died. And if he didn't die, we would not have eternal life. So let's pray this morning for the offering with that in mind, knowing that he deserves it all. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much. Lord, thank you for the seasons. And Lord, the times we have in those seasons to have a special celebration for what you have done. Father, I thank you that Christmas comes every year. Father, I pray that it would be a time of rejoicing, of celebration. Lord, it is a time for families to get together and reunite, and that is important. But Lord, I pray that even in those times which are good, they would not overshadow the incredible and excellent goodness that you showed us when you sent your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, that you sent him, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Lord, I pray that we would thank you this morning for that eternal life. And Lord, that we would give freely, Father, not because out of compulsion for what you did, Lord, but because you have already bought us, and therefore everything we have is yours already. And so, Lord, I pray that we would worship you because you came, and because you died and you rose again, by, Lord, how we give in our heart of hearts. And Lord, in that way, we would worship you and demonstrate your eternal worth and the work that you did on the cross. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen. To be king of Israel, and by extension we understand from the Bible, king of the entire world. And right now we pretend to forget that, being here in the church age, but he's king elect, and someday he will come and reign again. So let's stand and sing "The Birthday of a King" as we stand together as our final song, 162.
Thank you. seated.
Children can be dismissed to children's church. Let us bow our heads as we ask the Lord to bless this time as we ponder upon the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ and what that means for us today. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for that holy night, that night when Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, when the Word took upon Himself human flesh, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We do praise you for that, and we do realize that Jesus was born to die. He was the greatest gift to man that you could ever give, because in His death, He provided salvation for the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we do thank you for that. Even as we consider your word, as we think about Christmas, I do pray that you'd help us to realize what Christmas is really all about. So we do pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's hard to believe that Christmas is just right around the corner. How many days till Christmas? 6 days, right? 6 days is Saturday already. Hard to believe. So I want to see a show of hands. How many of you still have to do some Christmas shopping? There's a few that still have to do Christmas shopping. Actually, I've gotten my Christmas shopping done, and I'm very thankful for that, because that means I don't have to go to the malls and the stores when it's so busy and crazy out. But I'm sure that even if you've gotten your Christmas shopping done, you still have things to do before Christmas, right? Or do you have everything done? Are you all prepared for the Christmas season? I'm sure that this has been a really busy time for most of us. There's the decorating, there's the shopping, the sending of Christmas cards, all of the social obligations, the Christmas parties, all of those things. It keeps us busy. And right along with the busyness, it can be very easy to get stressed out during the Christmas season. There's so many expectations, so many traditions that you just feel you have to keep. There's so much hustle and bustle. And sometimes you just wonder, and really, we realize Christmas sometimes kind of loses its wonder. It loses its significance. And perhaps you are here this morning and you've become rather disenchanted with all of the commercialism, all of the materialism that goes hand in hand with Christmas anymore. It's easy enough to become stressed out, to become discouraged, to even become a little bit of a humbug during the Christmas season, because you see all of the things going around and you don't like a lot of it. And perhaps this Christmas, maybe you don't have the money to buy the gifts that you'd like to buy. Maybe you don't have the health or the strength to really enjoy the Christmas holiday season. Or maybe there's any number of other reasons where you're really struggling this Christmas season. But even if you're struggling, let me encourage you, there is a lot to rejoice in during this time of year. Just as there's so much to rejoice in no matter what time of year it is. And so you ask yourself, well, what is there to rejoice about? And I think all of us know the answer that could be given. What is the reason for Christmas? It's not about all of the presents that are stacked up under the tree, although those are nice. It's not just about giving those presents, not just about receiving those presents. Now, that's a special time, but yet that's not what Christmas is all about. If all of our hopes are based upon those Christmas presents under the tree, then we have a pretty shallow hope, don't we? And so what is our ultimate source of joy this Christmas season? It has to do with a gift, the ultimate gift of the person of Jesus Christ. And that's what we've been talking about already this morning. And I think most people today, they have an intellectual understanding. They have a head knowledge as far as what Christmas is all about, why we celebrate Christmas. Most people, if you'd come up and ask them on the street, well, what is Christmas all about? Or what is the reason we celebrate Christmas? Most of them would say, well, that's when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. They could probably tell you about the shepherds and the wise men and all of those things. But do they really realize why Jesus came to this earth? Why he was born in a manger in Bethlehem? Could they really tell you why? Do they realize that the birth of Jesus changed the course of human history in an amazing way? Do they have real joy in their hearts? Has Christmas really affected them? Do they realize what Jesus has done, and have they accepted the gift of salvation? There's a familiar saying this time of year that Jesus is the reason for the season. That he is the greatest gift of all. And those are more than just little quaint sayings. That is the truth. Jesus is the reason for the season. He is the greatest gift of all. And we have to keep that in mind. We have to celebrate Christmas for the right reasons.
Amen.
So many people have the head knowledge, but their hearts have not been changed. And your heart has to be changed. So this morning, I want you to take a deep breath. Take a deep breath and let it out. Okay? Because it's easy to get stressed out during this time of year, right? Perhaps even right now, you're thinking of all the things that you still have to do. Okay? You have to bake the cookies, you have to clean the house, you have to do this and this and this and that. And it can get stressful. Okay, so just take that deep breath. Try to relax a little bit. And we want to contemplate and ponder what Christmas is all about. This morning we want to look at a passage in Luke chapter 2. You can turn with me there this morning. Luke chapter 2. We've already read verses 1 through 20. We're going to focus particularly this morning verses 8 and following. The message that the angel gave to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. Let me read verses 8 through 12 to begin with. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." Have you ever thought about what it would have been like to have been those shepherds in the field watching over their flock on that night? Now, we live in a totally different age and culture than some 2,000 years ago whenever those shepherds were in the field keeping watch over their flock. We're so used to the bright, shining lights at night. You look off toward Ankeny, and you can see the lights just glowing from the city. You can see Carroll Chevrolet, all of the lights there, and Dewey Ford, you know, and all of the other lights. You look toward Des Moines, and we're kind of in Des Moines, but you can see all of the light. And you look up in the sky. Sure, you see some stars, but there's a lot of light pollution out there, isn't there? But imagine being back 2,000 years ago, before there was any electricity. Okay, imagine what it would be like in the middle of the night. Okay, maybe there might be a few glowing lights from little fires or whatever the case may be. But yet, imagine how dark it would be. And you look up toward the sky and you can see the marvelous expanse of the stars. Imagine that. And no doubt it was probably a pretty calm and quiet night. The shepherds were used to that. Just watching over their flocks, being good shepherds. But can you imagine what would happen, how you would react, if all of a sudden there was this amazingly bright light? Now, maybe we can get a little bit of an idea of this. You're in bed, okay, and you have to get up for some reason, okay, and you flip on the light, okay. That kind of blinds you, doesn't it? It almost hurts your eyes whenever you get up in the middle of the night and you flip on that light. Okay, our eyes hurt from just that 60-watt light bulb, or whatever the case may be. But can you imagine being the shepherds in total darkness, basically, and all of a sudden, there is this blinding bright light. Now, it's not a light bulb that got switched on. What is this amazing glory? Where does it come from? It seems as if it just comes out of it from nowhere. But yet, it didn't come from nowhere. It was from an angel of the Lord in all of its glory. Wow, can you imagine that? Can you imagine how those shepherds would have been caught totally off guard? How they would have been blinded by that light? And know that they were very afraid. That's what the Bible tells us. And you know what? I would be very afraid if I saw an angel appear to me in all of its glory. I would be very afraid. Even though I'm familiar with what the Bible says about an angel, I'd still be really afraid. And so we have this amazingly bright angel. And what does that angel say? Do not be afraid. The angel is a messenger of God. And that angel hasn't come to judge the shepherds. That angel has come to bring a wonderful message. And so he says, first of all, do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. This angel had some incredibly great news. And that angel wanted to share it with these shepherds. Now, as we look at those shepherds, And the day in which they lived, shepherds weren't someone that was really, they weren't really a respectable class of people. Sure, there's a long history of shepherds. David, the king himself, was a shepherd. But yet, at this time in Bethlehem and in the nation of Israel, shepherds had kind of gotten a bad name for themselves. Because shepherds, oftentimes, they like to kind of accumulate goods for themselves. And what was someone else's, they like to say, well, that's mine. Okay, and so shepherds weren't necessarily the most likable people. But yet, as a generality, that's how it was. They were kind of down low on the social ladder. But yet, not all shepherds were like that. And no doubt, these shepherds here were godly men. We don't know for sure, but we can learn a lot by how they responded here. But here we find the message of the angel to the shepherds. And what does it say? I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. This great news was directed specifically to the shepherds. I bring you this good news. This good news is going to change your life forever. I bring this news especially for you. But you know what? That news is for us just as well. That news of Jesus' birth. That news of great joy, it's going to be to all people. Now, especially the nation of Israel would have rejoiced with the hearing of what this angel was going to say. Because the nation of Israel for centuries had looked forward to the coming of the Messiah, the one who would be their great king, a king after David. That's what they were looking for. And so that would be extremely great, joyous news for the nation of Israel. But it even goes beyond that to all people. Good news of overwhelming joy to all people. Now, what's the nature of that good news? We find it in the words following. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. A little baby had just been born. A little baby. But this was no ordinary baby. Babies are born every day. But this was no ordinary baby. And the birth of this little baby, it would affect them specifically. For born to you this day in the city of David. The birth of Jesus Christ would affect the shepherds personally. But also it would affect the whole world. The whole universe. Millions of people would benefit from the birth of that little baby. But yet that little baby wasn't any ordinary human baby. That baby that was born was the Son of God incarnate. The angels tell some special news concerning this baby that was born. The angel doesn't say the name of the baby because the baby had not yet been named. Jesus, that name hadn't been given. But yet the angels say He is a Savior, the Savior, Christ the Lord. And we want to focus in on that this morning. That baby who was born in Bethlehem, He is the Savior. Now, in Israel's history, there had been saviors or deliverers in the past. We can go to the book of Judges, and there are any number of deliverers that rescued the children of Israel whenever they were under oppression from foreign nations. We can even look at Judges chapter 3, and we find that the children of Israel were in bondage under Cushan-Rishathaim. And they were under hard bondage, and they were being oppressed. But what did the Lord do? He raised up a deliverer for the children of Israel, and He delivered them. And His name was Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. That was a deliverer, that was a savior to the people. And there are many others that could be mentioned, like Jephthah, and Samson, and Ehud, and Gideon. These men were deliverers to the children of Israel. But yet it was the Lord who empowered these men to deliver, to be saviors in that sense of the word. But also in the Old Testament, we find many times God Himself is called a Savior. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 20, and verse 4 specifically, "For the Lord your God is He who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you." The Lord was the Savior to His people. We read the words of David in 2 Samuel 22. And what does he say concerning the Lord? He says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence." Isaiah said in Isaiah 43 and verse 3, "For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place." And then we go down to verses 10 and 12 of Isaiah 43, 10 through 12. And the Lord says, "You are my witnesses and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. I have declared and saved, I have proclaimed, and there is no foreign God among you. Therefore you are my witnesses, says the Lord, that I am God." And so the shepherds would have been familiar. Yes, they had human saviors in the past, like Gideon and Ehud and Othniel. And they would have realized, yes, God is their Savior as well. Truly, He is their only Savior. But whenever the angel proclaimed, "There is born to you this day a Savior," what would the shepherds have been thinking? Surely this was more than just any human Savior, like Gideon. But yet, I don't think they realized, how could God possibly be born? I don't think they were thinking of a divine Savior at this time, but that's exactly what had happened. God the Son had become flesh, and He dwelt among them. That's the essence of the birth of this child. A Savior had been born to the nation of Israel. That Savior had been born for the shepherds. God had taken upon Himself human flesh, and He had come to save the world of their sins. That baby's name would be Jesus, who would save the people from their sins. The angel earlier had told Joseph in Matthew chapter 1. In Matthew chapter 1, we read the angel telling Joseph here in verses 20 through 23, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. That baby was the Son of God incarnate. God himself was with them in the person of Jesus, that little baby. But not only was that little child the Savior, he was also the Christ. He was the anointed one. He was the Messiah for which Israel had longed for hundreds and hundreds of years. This child was born of the house of David. We have his mother. His mother was a descendant of David. And his father, although he did not have a birth father, his legal guardian, so to speak, Joseph, he also was of the lineage of David, and he had a legal right to the throne. He had that royal lineage. And so this child, he was the chosen one who eventually would sit on David's throne. He was the Messiah. Even as the angel told Mary in Luke chapter 1, in verses 31 through 33, And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And so the shepherds truly were rejoicing. The Messiah, he has been born in Bethlehem. He was the one that God had promised centuries ago. And so what a joyous message that these shepherds had just heard. But yet there's still more. Yes, the Savior had been born. The Savior was the Christ. But not only that, this little baby is the Lord. And so this child is no ordinary child. He's not just a human Savior. He's not just a mere human Messiah. No, he is the Lord. He is the God child. He was Emmanuel, God with us. Even as Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, said in Luke chapter 1, in verses 42 through 45, Elizabeth praised the Lord and said to Mary, Blessed are you among the women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Elizabeth recognized what was going on here. Elizabeth, she was pregnant with John the Baptist. And whenever she came to talk with Mary, actually Mary would have came to her. What happened? John the Baptist, still being in Elizabeth's womb, John the Baptist leaped for joy because he recognized, and he was full of the Holy Spirit. He realized, and Elizabeth realized too, that Mary had within her the Lord, the incarnate Son of God. And so, what the shepherds were hearing on this wonderful night, well, it was a fulfillment of God's prophecy. We read in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are of from old, from everlasting. That child that was born in Bethlehem, that child had an eternal existence. God the Son, the Word. In the beginning he was with God. We read in Isaiah chapter 9 and verses 6 and 7, another wonderful prophecy that was fulfilled at Bethlehem and in the years to come, even as we look at this prophecy. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. What a wonderful message. And those shepherds, truly, they were rejoicing. We continue reading on in Luke chapter 2. Look at verses 12 through 14 with me. "And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly with the angel there was a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth goodwill toward men.'" The angel told the shepherds specifically how they could find this special child. That child would be wrapped in swaddling cloths, and that child would be placed in what? In a feeding trough. Now we think, well, what a birthplace for a king. Who would expect a king, the Messiah, the Lord, a Savior, who would expect that child to be in a feeding trough, a place where animals would have eaten? Who would expect that? But yet God is in control, and He has a perfect plan, and He knew what was best. Jesus Christ, He humbled Himself and took upon Himself the form of a slave. But yet, who received this message? It was the shepherds, the lowly shepherds. And so, what a wonderful place for the shepherds to go to, a place where they would be totally comfortable going to, a place where they wouldn't be shooed out. They went to a stable, or perhaps a cave, we don't know for sure, but a place where there were animals, a place where the Messiah was in a feeding trough. The shepherds fit in perfectly, and they went, they found Him, and they rejoiced. But we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit. The angel had proclaimed the good news. And all of a sudden, with that one angel, there is a multitude of angels. A portion of God's heavenly army. And what do these angels proclaim? They're praising God. They're saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." The angels in heaven, they are giving glory and praise to God because of the birth of Jesus Christ. And on earth, what is going on? What will happen as a result of the birth of Christ and His ultimate death and salvation through His name? On earth, peace. It's not that men will make treaties of themselves that will be of any lasting impact. The earth will only have peace because of the birth of the Messiah. It is through Him that there will be peace. And it is through that child, it is through the man Jesus Christ, that God's goodwill is shown to men. It's not as if whenever the angel said goodwill toward men, it's not as if men are just giving goodwill to one another. No, this is God showing His favor upon mankind. Whenever Jesus was born in Bethlehem, God was showing His favor to mankind. And in a special way, He was showing His favor to those whom He had chosen. Truly, but goodwill toward men. Not only the nation of Israel would benefit, but all men would benefit. At least they could benefit. Salvation was offered to all in that person of Jesus Christ. Goodwill toward men. God's favor was shown toward the people. We read in verse 15, "And so it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.'" And so they rush, and they went to see this Messiah child, the Savior. And they find Him, and Mary and Joseph. And whenever they had seen Him and worshipped Him and praised the Lord, what do they go and do? We look at verse 17. What do? They go and they make the news widely known. Just as the angel had told them the good news, they go and tell everyone else what they had seen and what they had heard. They tell widely the saying that was told them concerning this child. And people marvel. What could this be? Is it possibly true the Messiah has been born, the Savior, the One who is the Lord? But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. We come to verse 20. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. That's what Christmas is all about. It's about the child who is born, about the child who grew up, who never once sinned, about the man Jesus Christ who died on the cross. It is through Jesus Christ that there can be any peace on this earth. It is through Jesus Christ that God's favor is shown to men and women such as us. Are we rejoicing in the message that we have seen this morning? Are we rejoicing in the salvation of Jesus Christ? And are we doing as the shepherds did? Are we telling others far and wide what Christmas is really all about? Are we rejoicing? Are we praising God? And so even as we may be stressed during this time, don't let the stress get to you. Don't let all the hustle and bustle take away the joy of Christmas. Let us just slow down. Let us ponder upon the miracle of the birth of Jesus Christ. And let us rejoice that in Jesus we have the greatest gift of all. We have the salvation of our sins. We have eternal life.
Amen.
Let us rejoice in that this Christmas season. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for that greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ, the one who was born in Bethlehem. Truly, he is the Savior. He is Christ the Lord. I do pray that we'd be rejoicing in that, that we'd be praising you, that we'd be telling others the true meaning of Christmas. And so I do thank you that you have shown your favor upon us, even in the person of Jesus Christ. Thank you that you have provided that salvation. And so we do thank you for that. I do pray that we wouldn't be worried during this time, that we wouldn't be stressed out. Help us to cast all of those things off. Help us to rest in you and in your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's close this morning with 143. Baby.